One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Comeback There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of LA. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there for an exclusive offer for Backseat. Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Anderson. I'm the host of the aforementioned podcast.
Yeah, you always throw it in my face.
I do, absolutely, that you are the co-host.
Yeah,
yes,
your
and
sidekick.
The producer. My Robin, my...
Yeah.
Tonto.
Yeah.
Who are other famous sidekicks? Who's the best sidekick?
The best sidekick of all times.
Mm. I mean, it's got to be Robin, right?
No, he's always getting kidnapped.
Yeah, or straight up murdered.
Just straight murked up. So yeah. I don't know. I would say maybe Watson.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's good. Who's
Sherlock
your favorite? Who's your favorite Robin?
You know, I wasn't really.
Mine's the bird.
I wasn't a bee. Yeah. Mine's Baskin.
Mine's Williams. Rest in peace to both of them. welcome to our little podcast. As I said, we are a funny podcast about family. We talk to comedians and other entertainers and authors and other interesting folks about family.
Sometimes we speak to the dead.
We do. We play my favorite game from Adam's Family, Wake the Dead.
Right.
Wake the Dead.
Have you ever played with the Ouija board before?
No. I don't believe in that. I mean, you got to stay away from that demon. Nonsense, bro.
Yeah,
that's how you let those evil spirits in.
Yeah, Pazuzu.
Spirits with a Z. Which was it's a knockoff Zoomies.
Right.
Spirits.
So it's like a knockoff Zima.
Yeah.
Spirits.
So we got spirits here, but over here we got spirits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can get some off-brand vodka,
bubblegum flavored. Yeah, bubblegum flavor.
We are so happy that you're listening to our little podcast.
Ecstatic.
And Backseaters, welcome back. And if this is your first time, we're so happy to have you. We hope we don't lose you.
Yeah, I'm getting choked up about it.
We hope we don't lose you.
Yeah.
You chose us.
Yeah.
You had so many other choices and you chose this episode.
Right.
I hope we don't blow it.
Yeah.
And I'm nervous you will.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah.
I've been trying to sabotage you for years.
I don't want you to be the weak link.
Yeah.
Of this, you know?
Yeah.
You're injured.
Right, I'm
you're hobbled. Homeless back, but I need you to have a carry strug like...
You know, I was going to say, I'm going to be like a Rudy.
A Rudy.
Everyone's counting me
you're
out.
You're undersized.
Everyone's counting me out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to get in there and I'm going to do the thing that Rudy did at the end of the movie. What does he do? I've never seen it.
You've never seen Rudy? You got mad at me for not having seen the other guys earlier.
Yeah, but I mean like...
And you haven't seen Rudy?
No. I mean, what does he make a tackle or does he like catch a ball?
I haven't seen it in a long time. In a long time.
Yeah.
He gets in the game.
Okay.
I think so.
Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Good for him. Oh, like he's at the cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Good for him. That's a good get.
It's an intramural squad.
Right. The Priest League.
Yeah. And on this episode, the Priest League. Hey, my wife's here, everybody.
Yeah.
Hi, Melissa. Oh, man. Killer content as always from her.
Nailed it.
We have a one, Timothy J. Hawkins. I don't know if that's his middle name. Tim Hawkins.
Yeah.
The great. Tim Hawkins. One of our favorite front seaters we've ever had.
Yeah.
Very popular episode, by the way. So we're banking on some downloads on this one.
Give him those digits. No, that didn't make any sense.
The last time we recorded one of these, we did it in a car, in a moving vehicle. It's the only time we've done it, an interview on the road.
Right.
This one, we are stationary.
There's
little movement.
Yeah.
You know,
a little shimmy.
We're in the green room.
I'll give a shimmy.
At a show in Fort Smith, Arkansas, which is where I flew in from today.
Yeah.
And his final show for a while.
Yeah.
He's kind of taking a little bit of, you know, a little break
hiatus.
From the grind.
Yeah.
And so it was a cool, special night.
Right.
To get to be there for that. Tim has meant the world to me as a comedian. The reason that I get to do this professionally. It's because Tim took a chance on me a long time ago and, you know, gave us a, you know, a little 5-minute set, a little audition, and then invited me to do a weekend. And then, you know, said, you know, I can do, you can do 10 of these this year. And I said, peace out, rec center. I'm getting on that Hawkins bus. And really, yeah, a huge opportunity. So it was an emotional weekend for me because, like I said, Tim has meant a lot to me as a mentor, both as a comedian, as a friend, and he's taught me a lot. And it was really a privilege to get to be there for this final show. And I mean, probably not ever, but this final show for a while. And most likely probably my final show with him because, you know, as you'll hear in this episode, we really had a falling out. And
right. It gets tense.
It absolutely did. Yeah. And but it's a nice chat where we talk comedy and we talk touring, of course. We dive a lot into... we dive a lot into counseling and therapy and relationships and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of a nice thing for you guys because there's a lot of the stuff that Tim and I had been talking about kind of over the weekend, and then we hit record, and you'll see a lot of like how Tim and I's friendship works is that we'll go from talking about movies to talking about fighting with your wife real quick, and then in and out. And I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. It was a blessing for me to be a part of it. The shows and always a blessing and a cool opportunity for us as our podcast to have Tim, not just, you know, as an act and, you know, as a nice get for us, but also just anytime that, you know, I can bring you guys into, you know, someone like Tim who's had both a prolific career and has a pretty admirable life, and it's worth hearing his perspective on things. And you can of course give him a follow on at Tim Hawkins Comic at Twitter and Instagram. I don't know after he's going to be checking it right now, but if you want to do,
get in there.
You can get in there. So yeah. Oh, quick funny story about this.
Okay.
Tim plays guitar during his show.
that is quick and funny.
Okay, just let me tell the story. All right. it's a crazy long show. He does 50 minutes. I come up and do a very unnecessary 20 minutes. We'd send an intermission. He comes and does another hour.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long, long show. Format of the show right now is guitar. He does some stand-up and the guitar and stuff like that. He finishes the guitar part, and there's a kid in the crowd who he'd kind of been doing some interaction, some crowd work with, and then he gives him the guitar.
Wow.
Really cool. Really. Everybody knows what's happening. It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
As he gives him the guitar, he falls. And like legit sprains / probably breaks his ankle.
Right.
I haven't gotten the update yet. Mad swollen. Has to do the rest of the show at the piano, which he would have done anyways, but sitting down. And I go out and... and like as he calls me back out for, you know, the bow at the end, I'm like, I'm emotional and I'm like hugging him. And he goes, I hug him. I go, thank you so much for everything. And he goes, my ankle hurts. and I laughed about it. I was like, you were doing such a nice thing. And his quote was, no good deed goes unpunished.
Wow.
So, anyways, that's a fun story.
Yeah.
Did it live? Maybe it was more fun than funny.
It was fun.
Because your fake laugh at the beginning was better than the actual laugh. You're right.
So
this is distracting for me because my Christmas present is right there.
Yeah, dude.
I want it.
It's a Ouija board.
It better not be a Ouija board. It has moved a few times while we're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But it's covered in sparkles, you call it, but it's covered in your wife.
My wife. My wife.
Don't do Borat voice.
I wasn't even trying to. But my wife bought sparkle. What is it called? Sprinkle? Sparkle.
Glitter.
Glitter. Glitter wrapping paper, and it is currently covering the entire floor around the Christmas tree.
Yeah, but man, 'tis the season.
To annoy me? I don't understand what this is about.
I like it. Like, aside from the sparkles, those, you know what those little dots remind me of? Seeds.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like
you're looking at it for so long. Just like I'm gonna find it.
You didn't see it coming though. It's just little seeds, but not like seeds of hate.
No,
or seeds of contempt.
Right.
Seeds of pain.
Mm-mm.
Or agony.
Mm-mm.
I would say if I were speaking in Spanish.
Yeah.
I don't know Spanish for seeds. Seeds of amor.
Yeah. El Sedados del Amor.
Sedados.
You didn't know that? That's like day one of Spanish.
Is it?
Yeah. ¿Dónde están las bibliotecas? And ¿dónde están las Sedados?
Sedados. Guys, let me tell you about our sponsor.
Yeah.
Seeds of Love.
Seeds of Love.
Seeds of Love. You want to sing it, don't you? It's very singable. I'd like to hear your dad get a hold of this.
It definitely sounds like a Peebo Bryson song.
I don't know that reference.
All right. Let me.
A Peebo Bryson.
Peebo Bryson.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, you know, the song that sang The Beauty and the Beast. He's saying he was the guy. You know how they do that at the end when they do the re.
Which song?
Oh,
he does all of them.
No, yeah, at the end.
Time,
you know, like,
it tells all
you know
the
when
time.
They do like the pop version of yeah. it at the very end of the oh. thing? He's the boy. He's the boy. Uh-huh. The man voice.
He's the man voice.
Yeah.
Okay. So Peebo you feel
Bryson.
Like he would sing a song called Seeds of Love?
Of course he would.
Seeds of Love is a sponsor that we're so happy to have on this podcast. What Seeds of Love does here is they make fantastic bracelets. Bracelets yeah. like look good.
Yeah.
Like my family, what's happened? They gave us some, which is very kind of them. They didn't yeah. give you guys any,
no,
but they gave us two.
I don't have wrists. Yeah. though. That's the reason. I was born without wrists.
You have to wear it on fingers, your small neck.
Fingers right connected to my arm.
These bracelets. So they gave us five. Yeah. And it's a, every day my family wants to wear one.
Yeah.
Every day. And they want to switch the color.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they want to have a little variety.
Sure.
Because they all look so good.
Yeah.
And they have, not only are they fashionable.
Right.
You know, not only do they look great.
Yeah.
Not only do they make you feel better about yourself, but mm-hmm. the way you look, you feel better about yourself because you're supporting a good cause, man. Their mission is to empower village artisans in Guatemala.
Guatemala.
And give charity sowing seeds of love worldwide. So all these bracelets that we love so much, they're handcrafted with love in Guatemala. And so this holiday season, you guys can get something that looks good and it shares the love out and has a little purpose behind it. I don't know. It's especially when you're giving, I feel like to loved ones and to kids and stuff like that. It's really nice to give it to your kids and go,
yeah.
hey, this isn't just, you know, this is something that I know you're going to like.
Right.
It's going to be something unique that stands out because
yeah.
your friends will ask about it. Where'd you get that little
right.
thing? I didn't get it at Claire's.
Right.
Mm-mm. This is going to support a good cause. So, embrace love and sew it everywhere you go, guys. And, you guys can follow them on Instagram or Facebook at Seeds of Love Bracelets. And you can visit their website at seedsoflovebracelets.com. And guys, we wouldn't give you this if you couldn't get a sweet, sweet deal.
Right.
Use our code Don't Make Me to
One
get
word.
10% off. So seedsoflovebracelets.com. Use our code 10% off. Don't Make Me. That's going to get it right there. One word, no apostrophes.
10% off.
That being said, so we want to give you guys a little bit of a rundown. This is going to be our last guest, like, based interview episode
yeah.
for the month, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because today is what? Today is I don't even know.
Today is Independence Day.
So today, December 10th, coming out. This is going to be our episode with Tim on the 17th and the 24th and the 31st. You guys got to keep sending us these voicemails.
Yeah.
Keep sending these oyster mails.
Yeah, oyster mails.
Oyster mails.
Keep sending us oyster mail. I can't tell you how much yeah. I appreciate all the oysters I'm beginning. I've been shucking
yep.
all day.
Shucking all
day. I shuck all night.
You guys are going to, we want to hear your best and your worst holiday stories.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Right.
Kwanzaa.
Quasi Kwanzaa.
New Year's Eve.
NYE.
Hanukkah.
Chanukah.
You're just here to give us the proper pronunciations
yeah.
of each of them.
Right.
You're gonna call, and you're gonna leave us those sweet, sweet details
yeah.
of these things, man. And I can't wait to hear them.
Whatever the
and
Hare
we're
Krishna
gonna respond
one is.
With some of our favorite front seaters.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna be our next three episodes. You guys hop in the front seat with us, and you guys give us that sweet, sweet info for us to respond
right.
to. Now give us that information. You're going to email don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com.
Right.
And you're going to send us voicemails at 619-292-8787.
Peebo Bryson? Oh, it's you. I thought Peebo came
in. In the flesh. Guys, if you want to come see me do stand-up comedy, you can do that as well. All my shows are at dustinnickerson.com/shows. And you can buy some sweet, sweet pod gear at dustinnickerson.com/shop. You guys know how to do that. All right, a couple weeks ago, we had a great episode.
Yeah.
We had an episode where we talked to a guest who talked a lot about his stepdad.
Yeah.
And he was like so good.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about my parenting, and I don't know if this makes any sense. I was thinking about how, like, I am, like, cool. a good enough, like, what I bring to the table.
Sure.
Like, I'm like a good dad.
Yeah.
But it's not good enough that I would be a good stepdad.
No, yeah, that makes sense. No, I track what you're saying. I track entirely what you're saying.
Does that make sense to you?
No, I track what you're saying.
I don't have what it takes to be a good stepdad.
It takes a lot more, I think.
I can only, like, love and take care of these kids if I know they got a little bit of me in them.
Yeah. And like, it helps that, like, two of them look almost exactly. Like,
identical.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They look
very close
to you.
And the third one looks like my wife.
Right.
Who... most of the time, I like a lot.
Right.
And other
right.
times when we're fighting, I'm like, you remind me of her.
Yeah. We're going to get ice cream. You're not invited.
Me and the two that look like
yeah,
me.
Me and my twins are going out.
What a terrible, wonderful way to show favoritism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it based on order? No. Gender?
No.
Grades? No. I want the ones that look like me.
Yeah.
Because they make me think of me.
Yeah. That's why I'm my dad's favorite, because I'm the brownest.
Yeah.
That's the straight up truth.
Yeah.
That is the straight truth.
Yeah. That's not...
comes to breaks. Sorry, guys.
I don't...
shouldn't have red hair, idiots.
I'm not my dad's favorite, but I don't think me being more brown would have fixed that.
Probably not. No, that would have thrown a bunch of monkey wrenches into the works. That would have caused a lot of questions.
I feel like that would have pushed us further
right.
apart.
You're right,
No. I think I would have only been my dad's favorite had I been... the oldest, the sweetest, or the more female. And there was only two of us. And my sister was all of those things.
Yeah.
The older, yeah, the sweeter,
stacked against
and the
you.
More female. You know what? Yeah. The one that I was most like probably in that would be more female than, because there's no way I was gonna be the oldest.
No, that
and,
yeah, that yeah,
yeah, and I like,
I believe in yourself, man. Maybe. You
well,
can.
I mean, it, not even in like dumb gender ways, but like I know that like sometimes me being an emotional little boy,
right,
was frowned upon. Like my dad was like you know, the Santa Claus is coming to town. My dad was like Santa Claus, but only the you better not cry part.
Hilarious. Hilarious. All the fun, yeah. Just all the
you
rules.
You better not cry. Yeah. You better not.
You better not shout. You better not pout. And it's like, why? Because I said so. End of song.
No, he didn't mind if I shouted or pouted.
Okay,
those were fine.
Just crying.
No crying.
Okay. What have you? Do you think if you would have like,
not, you know, the no crying in baseball, just
right.
replace baseball with childhood.
Right.
There's no crying in childhood.
Do you think if you would have became like a NASCAR driver, then you would have become the favorite? Like, what would you have? What would you have had to have done?
To become my, you know who my dad's?
You're driving the Tide car number 74.
Yeah.
Down in Daytona.
Yeah. The Tide 74.
You're
huh?
taking all the,
yeah.
Did they win a belt?
Yeah. I don't know.
Or a crown?
Trophies
they win
usually?
A crown. They win like some sort of sash.
Yeah. In
that's
addition
Miss Universe.
To the trophies.
That's
they
Miss
do
Universe.
That.
Sorry.
Yeah.
If you would have won Miss Universe.
Maybe. Yeah, that would have taken some work.
Against all odds.
Yeah, that would have been just as likely as me becoming more
is
brown.
Is that what Rudy's about?
Anyways, guys, enjoy this episode.
Yeah.
With Tim Hawkins.
Thank you so much.
So funny, so great.
For your time and your effort and your love.
If this gets out on time, it's going to be a miracle.
Oh, I mean, I literally have 45 minutes to get this out before it's 7:30 on the West Coast or East Coast.
We love you guys. You're the best. Thank you so much.
See you guys.
Bye.
Now my family and I, we do the Hallmark. We really get excited about Hallmark.
Really?
And just breaking them down.
Like ironically? Or
no. Well, yeah, ironically.
Yeah, yeah.
And picking it, and Hallmark knows what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like, yeah, we don't care. Make fun of us.
It's very formulaic, but
and
they know what they're doing.
Every one of them.
I don't think I've ever seen one. I know
just,
the cliche.
A Hallmark movie is like a commercial.
Yeah.
You know, you see a commercial for,
for
like
what,
Dove,
though?
Dove dishwashing liquid
yeah.
or something. But they make, it's like a movie.
Oh, okay.
And... just it's kind of like a lot of Christian movies where there's you go into a house and there's no pictures on the walls.
Yeah.
It's just like blank walls. You can't hear any extraneous noise.
Yeah.
There's only the same one person's in every scene of the movie.
Yeah.
The same person. There's no layers in depth. And there's always Hallmark movies are usually like Christmas movies. You know, it has to do with a guy coming in from the city to a small town,
mm-hmm.
some businessman, and he's somehow threatening a tradition, a Christmas tradition,
okay.
or he doesn't get Christmas.
Yeah.
And so the pure, you know, female,
yeah.
she has to teach him, and then they fall in love.
Yeah, and he converts from Judaism.
Yeah.
No, it's not that I don't hate Christmas, guys. You don't understand, I don't celebrate. It's not my religion.
Yeah, it's like, and everything is, you know, I fell in love at, you know, Christmas caroling, or I did, you know.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the magic of Christmas mm-hmm. type stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it. There's just...
Love at the wrapping station. You know, at the, that kind of stuff.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. But you see a lot of these actors, like Dean Cain, you haven't seen for a while. Yeah. A little puffy. And they look a little, you know, like...
A little
remember
swollen.
Remember Dean Cain was Superman? He comes back, he just looks like...
Just a man.
Just a
He's
man.
Just Dean now.
Just regular old Dean. But they're... you just never know.
He wears the glasses because he has to.
Yeah.
Now it's not. He's not a disguise anymore. He's just an old man who needs glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. Or some of these people who sometimes when they, I think they find Christianity or find, they get religion of some sort. Like the girl who was the teenage witch.
Sabrina.
What was her name?
Was that Melissa? Was that? Does that sound familiar? Was there
Melissa Joan Hart?
Was yeah, that sounds right. Right.
Yeah. I think that's awesome, but no, we have a great time watching that.
They just have like one meaning, right? Like there's no, like you say, there's no complexity, there's no layers, we got one idea we're trying to get across here.
Everything's explained, you give nothing to the audience, you have to,
yeah.
You play everything out and say everything.
Yeah, so your family sits down and watches these?
Oh, we love it. We love it. And the worse, the better. One time we sat down, we're so excited to make fun of this movie and the, but it was just, we all were crying at the end.
Yeah.
It was about a mentally challenged boy who lost his dog, who had to give his dog away that he fell in love with.
Yeah.
We were all just bawling. Just like, oh my gosh.
It was called A Special Christmas Need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like, okay, we'll let you, he's like, this kid falls in love with this dog. And the dad's like, well, he's a farmer or whatever. And he doesn't need any more animals, which is weird.
Right.
It's like, okay, you can have them for a couple of weeks, but then you have to take them back. He's like, oh, okay. Of course.
Classic story.
And then
you loan animals.
Yeah, dog, they take them back, but the dog walks all the way back to the farm, like miles back to the farm.
Oh.
He's just like rapping on the door with his paw.
He's rapping on the door. Just take him. He gets the dog.
Yeah, but and it's I think when I get older, the older you get, I love the more corny that has more depth to me.
Yeah,
you know where you get the simplicity of things, simple jokes, dumb jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it meta? I like the meta nature of things now.
Do you think you just even appreciate the like the effort to have heart behind something?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's so because it's. It's so few and far between now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dynamic. I mean, it's so many films are just you're blown away by the special effects. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's sensory overload and you see something simple and oh this is at least all right.
Yeah, yeah. It is an interesting thing, like everybody makes fun of those Hallmark movies and like, oh, they're just trying to make you feel. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. there's just a little heart behind this. It's its own like specific, you know, genre, obviously, but at least they're trying the heart behind it is a good message. And
yeah.
there's no harm. There's no ill will.
No,
no one's being hurt.
Mm-mm.
Only what a weird, like society, what a weird pivot Hallmark made as a company though.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, cause they were pure cards and they're like, we should start a TV channel.
And they did.
Who does that?
They started one.
Yeah.
And that's just proof that you never know what works. Mars Attacks, movies like that. How do you know that something is going to work? I think Hollywood just, or the industry just waits for something that people like, and then let's just make a ton of that.
Yeah.
Let's just keep making that.
Oh, yeah. We're like absolutely in the era of that as far as just like, you know, sequels and reboots. And do we have a good idea? How many Batmans are we going to have? All these.
Well, now they're doing they had the Beauty and the Beast. They redid that with live people.
Right.
And then they did Lion King with, you know, again, of course that wasn't people, but they're just going to redo all this. Mulan, I think they're going to do Mulan again with
the idea of the live action Lion King was pretty funny because you're like, these aren't real animals still.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just a new version of cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it, but that's what people told me.
I'm amazed though at how people have different opinions about movies and even within our own family. Like we watched Aladdin.
Yeah.
And
the new one.
To be honest with you, I don't know if it was good or bad. I don't really know because, you know, a few people in my family just absolutely loved it, and other people are like, "What? That was weak. That was lame."
Yeah.
So,
what did you think? You don't know.
Well, the cartoon is one of the best movies ever made, I think. Best animated
of the Disney cartoons. It's in the discussion. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it really is just carried by Robin Williams, though, right?
Yeah, and then you know, you got the Will Smith doing basically acting like Martin Lawrence the whole.
Really?
You know, it's a purple Martin Lawrence is what it is, or a blue Martin Lawrence. You got to dig and dig, all right. That's Martin, man.
Martin!
Gina, what? What did you say?
I think he actually said that.
Instead of Genie, Gina.
Yeah, bra man.
Underrated a 90s comedy sitcom, by the way.
I've never seen anybody ever that got it, what the sitcom was.
Yeah.
That it was just, he didn't take it too seriously. He wasn't trying too hard. He was being himself.
Right.
I mean, to the point where I've never seen scenes like that,
mm-hmm.
where they couldn't use a dog. So they end up using just a stuffed dog, and he'll grab it and act like it's attacking him, or they're in the cabin and they just have another, like a woodchuck or a raccoon or some kind of animal they couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
And once again, they just kind of pull it on a string. They're not, it's going that far that way. I don't think I've enjoyed a sitcom like that more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, all those characters are just
the
top.
They were all over the top. There was no nuance or no subtlety to a single one of those characters. Everybody was...
Well, he pushed them.
Yeah.
And he brought that out of them, because it was almost... I don't think it was a competition, but he brought the level to that silliness.
Yeah.
And
it's very physical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you can tell that his talent to, like Will Ferrell, to bring something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And... Just a wonderful show.
Mm-hmm.
So love that show. It's like the guys like Ricky Smiley, you know,
yeah.
you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite comedians. Is just that guy that you're sitting around with at the house, and he's just a funny guy.
Yeah.
He's just a funny.
What was that bit you were telling me about the other day?
Well, talking about having a substitute teacher with a big shoe. Like he's got, I don't know what it's called, but substitute teacher with a big shoe. Makes a big shoe come in. And he'll go and he'll put his right foot behind the curtain and he'll just, and he comes walking in the room and he pulls that big old shoe out. And the sole of the shoe is a foot high. And he's doing that walk and he's pointing like he's getting mad at the kids. And it's just, thank you. It's like you can die knowing that okay, I don't think I can see anything much funnier than that.
Yeah.
It's just silliness. Just silly.
Silly. We were talking earlier about the crew doesn't know who Dave Attell is. And maybe that's because they're better Christians than I am. But Dave Attell is very underrated as a silly comic. And I was telling that bit of that, you know, I met a guy with one eye who was trying to give me directions. I'm not going to take directions from a guy with one eye. I'm going to take directions from a guy with one leg because he knows the quickest way to get sick. There's going to be no fences I have to hop. There's not going to be slippery floors.
Yeah. It's like, how do you write that? With one leg.
It's the silliest, most ridiculous.
Yep.
Oh, man. All these, we'll probably have to edit this one out. But well, just for the sake of the laugh, it goes, oh, man. Midgets now, they want us to call them people, huh? Well, if we have to call them people, that elevates us to gods.
I think that sometimes when I'm doing my act, there's sometimes I'm like, okay, I feel like, okay, that plugged into who I am as a funny person.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff I feel like, I'm kind of acting it out.
Or, mm-hmm.
But some bits, and I think that Attell has... caught that more than anybody.
Mm.
That just pure, he lines up his material with who he is as a funny vehicle.
Yeah.
And it just blends so well.
It's what Cat Williams talked about. At a certain point, where, you know, you realize you don't know, it's not that you know how to be funny, it's that you are funny. And that's what you do on stage. You realize, like, no, you just are a funny person, and now you've figured out how to confidently do that on stage. And you're right, like, the guys like that, you're like, this is just... You know what your thing is.
Yeah. Well, maybe we got it backwards. Maybe we're too much looking at the material that's the source. No, we're the source.
Mm.
And the material is the application.
Right.
And that's just kind of the, helps you show you how you are funny as a person,
right?
Your talent or your voice or whatever it is. And of course, you know, a lot of comedians, you're not your act. You're not your act. You're not the set list. Mm. It's just looking, getting to trust that part of you. What's his name? The old Richard Belzer.
Yeah, Belzer.
Belzer was a comic that he would do his act and he would act like, well, this is funny. If you don't like it, then you're just wrong. That attitude where he'd been doing it for so long. He's just like, eh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a cockiness. It was just, I think he was so comfortable in his,
right,
in his body of work. And that's one thing I love about music, musicians and the Roger Waters of the world and these guys, Paul Simons and all these, who have their body of work. They know who they are. They're comfortable in their own skin,
mm-hmm,
and they just go out and they play and you don't feel like they're trying to get more fans or younger fans.
Mm-hmm.
They're just good. And they play with people that they like.
Right.
And same with comics.
Yeah.
There's a level of comfort that I think makes someone more professional.
Have you found that, that for the content that you've put out and your act and your bits, that's what people have resonated with the most, is when you're kind of being most of that yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's talking about, you know, once it's not about the wordplay and mm-hmm. the gimmicks. We all have gimmicks. Everything
sure.
you do is a gimmick, really. But it's just touching on those things that people really, okay, that hits me right in the heart. That's I so get what you're talking about. And I so am connected with you right now with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that, and a lot of laughter almost comes from relief. Like, mm-hmm. oh, think about it. I mean, if you just say something that's true.
Right.
Do you guys notice that when you,
yeah.
Okay, when you got the iPhone cord and it's not really sure if it wants to,
yeah.
Wink, 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 yeah. Wink, 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 wink. That's just true.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, oh, he hears it too. And it's, yep. Okay.
I had a joke in it. I've never found, like, I just do a joke about not being able to, or like, I'm good at texting and driving because I didn't have a phone, but what I had was more distracting. I had a 6-disc CD changer and a catalog of 3,000 CDs on my lap. There's no punchline, but everybody's laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's frustrated at me at times.
With the sleeves.
Like, yeah, it's like frustrated to me. It's like, no, I need a punchline in here. I was like, no, they're all having a good time.
No.
They're all loving and they're resonating with the idea. Everybody's in a positive mood right now. Mm-hmm. I don't need to put a pun on this.
There you go.
I don't need to put.
You're reminiscing, and this is, that's what that does is, because it takes them, you know, if you have a rhythm, it takes out of that rhythm and it adds dynamic. It's like, oh, this is a different, okay.
Yeah.
That's a different piece.
Mm.
And the more different, the better, I think.
Yeah. The more variety in the show. Well, you do a 2-hour show, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder you're taking time off.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, the music helps.
Sure.
Absolutely. But that's, I'm wanting to get, and I think I finally get into a point where we're just hanging out.
Right.
And you're just in my living room, and this is the kind of stuff that I do in my living room
mm-hmm.
and talk about and joke about, sing about, whatever. That kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, I used to sweat a lot because I felt I was running around so much and trying to be so physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I still move a little bit, but I can tell I just don't really sweat that much. I used to just, I mean.
I've noticed that you take, there's like long, silly, you're making noises, you're doing silly, goofy. It's sillier than it's ever been, I think, you know?
Yeah, it's just trying to find, okay, not just, dial, you know, well, not it's not dialing, just mailing it in and just on autopilot.
Yeah.
This is the way I've always done that joke, but being open to, okay, if I want to do this joke a different way or follow this little thing, I can do it. And sometimes it works, sometimes, you know, it doesn't, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think that these people who buy a ticket to the show, they just want to hang out anyway.
Yes.
And it's not like everything I say is funny, I can tell you. It's just, no, because they don't laugh at everything I say.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, that.
But the show is 2.5 hours. They can't do that the whole time. No. The way your show is, there has to be ups and downs. There, give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mm-hmm. Though the intermission really helps. We started doing an intermission. I used to do just, even with another comic, just an hour and a half straight. And that would be it. But then we started doing an hour and 10 or something like that, and then throwing in that intermission. Michael Jr. kind of encouraged us to do that because he said, man, it gives them a break. It's they buy a product. They can go
right
the merch table and just, and it he was right.
Right.
That was one of the best things we ever did. And it gives you, you know, being with another comic gives me a chance to rest, and then they can just come
right
out and you don't miss a beat.
Yeah.
None of the, there's no ramping up.
They're no, ready, the energy's rocking. There right when they get back. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the authentic and like genuine stuff. That's probably why, I mean, we've talked a lot about this, why like all the family stuff and the relationship stuff and the marriage stuff. Mm-hmm. It's jokes that people, it's always what they bring up afterwards because it's not, it doesn't feel like they were just laughing at it. It felt like they felt it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you noticed that, right? I mean, that stuff hits so hard.
Oh, you get to a point where it's like almost like, oh, they're laughing like, oh, like a guttural, oh, yeah, oh. Almost like, yeah, I do that. Oh, but I, oh.
Yeah.
And that's, you're just hitting it. There's so many levels that you can hit people with mm-hmm. relationship material because you can act it out. You can just, it's just.
Right.
I mean, my wife said something about, we've laughed about, what was it? My little helper in the car. I used to do a bit called she's my little helper in the car. And she helps me because sometimes the light turns green. I didn't know what color it is. It lights green. Okay. I didn't know. That's glad you're here. You know, fast you're running. Well, I got this little thing that tells me, but in case that breaks, you're there. Back me up. You know, that kind of stuff. And then after the show, this is my little helper in the car. Hey, this is my little helper in the car. 5 years later, hey, this is my little helper in the car. And, you know, people, that's not funny. I'm like, it's funny because people are laughing. They get it.
Yeah.
They understand. It's like, what was it? My wife had an argument about rubberneckers. There's only rubberneckers in Missouri when there's a wreck.
Yeah.
Missouri's the only place for rubberneckers. I'm like, no, it's not. Because you go to California and say the word rubberneckers, they know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. They're
everywhere.
Only Missouri likes looking at accidents. Yeah. Only Missouri.
And it is. And being a married person and kids, and I'm amazed at just all the different points of view and different, you know, you'd think it'd be, some people touch on the same topics, absolutely.
Sure.
But just certain stories and things that happen that bring out the nature of those relationships. That's just, people love it. They just, because they love it. Because they think, you know, that it's empathy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, listen to Brene Brown. She talks about vulnerability and shame shows mm-hmm. the difference between guilt and shame, that guilt is when you do something wrong, shame is when you are something wrong.
Mm.
And she says that the petri dish for shame is isolation and judgment, things like that. Whereas to make shame go away, it's empathy.
Mm.
It's me too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, me too. Mm. You know, you said that to your kid? Oh, me too.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, that's just, people just enjoy.
So as a comedian, you can bring a whole group of people together at that moment mm-hmm. simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that doesn't, like, not to get all high and mighty about what we do, but it does help people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that absolutely helps people to go, oh, this guy who is in charge of the room, mm-hmm. we bought a ticket to see this guy. He's, you know, this is his thing. Mm-hmm. And I relate to him, and I think when you're up there, like, especially when you're talking about imperfections like that, like, you know, you've been doing the longer bits about being in couples counseling and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Now it's, you're taking away stigmas. They feel okay. This guy, he's the star, but his life isn't perfect. And so now there's like a relatability. It's helping people. Yeah. Absolutely.
You don't have to get really into it. I mean, we've gone through some pretty heavy stuff.
And yeah.
You can if you want. But it's just touching on that. Yeah, we go to counseling and I've learned this. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there's that context. And, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, it's that.
Even just mentioning it. Well, you actually, you tell them to.
Oh, yeah.
You tell them to get into therapy.
Anybody listening, it makes so much sense to get an objective eye on what you're doing.
Mm.
What you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
to somebody to ask you questions and say, you know, I don't know this person that you deal with, but you know, telling about them. Because what happens is a counselor's seen this 1,000 times.
Right.
And so they can pick out patterns. Mm-hmm. They're not always right. And there's always little nuances that they may not pick up on, but there's patterns that's like, they can take you to where you want to go. Like the one-legged man, they're going to get you to where you want to go faster.
Yeah.
It's like when you get good information, it gets you there faster. I've gotten comedy advice in the past that saved me years of time.
Yeah.
You know, the piece of advice, never try to write funny, write passion. Mm. Find your passion and write that, and there's going to be funny in that.
Mm-hmm.
Best piece of advice
that
I've ever got in comedy. But go get counseling if any way you can. I know it's expensive, and I know it's hard to find somebody who can. I've gone to counselors that just didn't really do much, but part of that was I was new to it, and I didn't I didn't know what to do. So maybe I was, I didn't know how to use it.
Right.
It was just, let's sit around and shoot the bull. And, when you really know how to, you know, dig in and not try to make everything, avoid everything and really press into an issue, man, it's fun. It's fun to learn. To learn how the language of feeling, to get an emotional intelligence, whereas I can, instead of, I remember I had a breakthrough once with my wife, and she was going through the house with her laptop watching her videos or whatever. She was a news junkie at that time. She was watching these videos all the time. And I remember I lay down on the bed and I was feeling a little frustrated or whatever because she walked in and what I normally would say was, what are you watching, your boyfriend again? What are you watching, put it on her.
Yeah.
And then she walked in, she said, what's up? I said, I don't know, I feel sad. I just feel disconnected from you and that we're not, you know. I didn't say anything about her watching videos.
Right.
It's just like I walk around and it was just like, bing. Mm. It was like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Because you're basically saying, and most of our fights are just about, I love you, I can't live without you. Right? But you're saying, why do you gotta be with your friends all the time? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Where you can say, you know, I just get to your own feeling. And it's like, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling this and I need this. Could you do this for me?
Yeah, it is an interesting way I think about so much of our attention in like our particular relationship is about me being gone. And I was like, that really is a compliment. I'd love if you were around more.
There you go. There you go. But instead, we try to defend why we're gone.
I'm not gone that much.
Right.
I take this time off. I was gone for 7 days in a row. And then anytime we go to the record, I can't do that. If we're in a fight and I'm like, she's like, you've been gone on the counter. I was home 10 of the last 13 days. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you cannot.
I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be better me for you. We've all been there. Well, stop it. I want to horrible you as long as you're around longer. It's just, yeah. So how's that? Because you're traveling more now probably than you ever have.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot. It's seasonal, obviously, and you know, suddenly my spring is a little more open than it was gonna be. But it definitely, you know, where I feel like we feel it the most is like the day before I leave. Like when I get home, it used to be our re-entry was a challenge, but I think we've kind of figured that out. And I kind of just, and that's me knowing, hey, I haven't been here in a while, in like a few days, I've missed a few things. I got to come in kind of a little more, like for lack of a better word, like humbly and just kind of like, what are you guys, and what can I do to help? Not like right. Dad's home, you know, and that kind of thing. And now I feel like, you know, Wednesday night or Thursday night before I leave and, you know, I'm packing and the suitcases are out. Like there's just kind of like a somber and also like a little bit of like tension around. That's when we feel, and there, it's almost always something's going to happen that day because it's just tensions right here. And then that first day, but then I think we kind of hit a rhythm of like, okay, now we, does that make sense?
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing an interview last year and I've gotten this question almost every interview, and they ask about how do you balance out family, how
right.
do you balance out traveling.
Yeah,
and I was
same.
Just,
I get
and
it
most
all the time.
And most of the time, you say, "Well, you check in," and I finally came to the realization that you don't.
Mm.
You do not balance. There's no such thing as balance. I can kind of see, I kind of equate it to like when you're riding on a motorcycle, you're always in movement, but you're not, you're kind of off this way, but you got it. You keep, I don't know. It's kind of a glorious imbalance. And it's, and if, I just think that's a term we need to stop living by.
Yeah.
Cause there, it doesn't make sense. There really is none. If you're physically away from your wife and your kids,
there's no balance.
So stop trying to think there's going to be, because you're always going to be like, well, there's just no balance. You're not going to get there. So you're just going to have to find the sweet spot. You know, with me, it's just like 100 dates a year. It got to a point where the costs were far outweighing the benefits. And it's not that I don't love what I do, but it doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's taking you away from, you know, the main thing, then you got to adjust. And then, you know, at, you know, in my 30s, I think I was just, you're just grinding. You're trying to develop that, your thing. And you're trying to learn it. You're trying to, and then as you go, you learn what to say yes to, what to say no to, the best way that you can. See, I, unfortunately, I felt like I didn't have the tools, the emotional intelligence, that made the best of those times. Like I was just always tired. I was always, I thought that I kind of fell back on my strengths and thought that that would take care of my weaknesses. And it's, I'm not doing that anymore. And yeah, like you, we were talking about before, it's like, well, I do this. It's like, well, don't you see all the stuff I do for you? It doesn't matter. I'm here 10 hours and 20. You're so. And, oh man, but really, I mean, don't you think everybody deals with that though? Even people who work from home.
That's what I've made this argument before, that I think that, and that's not to like diminish the hardness of our situation. I think that marriage and family is hard, period. And I think that if you have other firm, hard, challenging commitments like jobs and careers and passions and dreams and ambition and all these things and hobbies, and there's gonna be, there will be no balance. There will be times where you give, like if your thing is golf and your family is okay with you playing golf, when you're out golfing, there is no golf family balance. Golf gets 100% of your attention for 5 hours. Period. When we're gone, we FaceTime, we text, we check in, but I'm not doing a lot. Like, I'm not helping with homework right now. I'm not making a game. You know, like I chatted with my son for 20 minutes earlier. There are touch points. So everybody, so there's like a relational, hey, we all still love each other type stuff.
But I remember as a kid, there are some of my best friends, I never saw their dad.
He
was always in the house. He wasn't lingering or helicoptering. He was, you can smell cigarette smoke coming through the vents. Oh, he's up there doing Lord knows what. Probably just watching TV, read the newspaper in his underwear.
Every job I've had, there's been people who work 70, 80 hours there. Every job that I've had. Church jobs, recreation jobs, normal jobs. You know, I remember I worked at, when I worked at Starbucks, if you manage a Starbucks, that's like a 60-hour a week job. And anytime that Starbucks is open, you're open, you know, like, and that's to work at Starbucks. So they're all, you know, everybody's got a stressful jobs and stressful lives. So I think you're right. It isn't just comedy, but that quote unquote balance, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but I think,
well, think about in the old days. I mean, in the old, the way we, for
you didn't even have to raise him as
thousands
the dad.
Of years, they all did it together. Your whole, your families and your societies were built on, for the most part, I think, there's a lot of people around. You're having probably a lot of kids. You're having, you know, grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles all in the same area. You're living life together. You've got that support system, good or bad. They're there though.
Everyone's dead by 50.
Well, and now, I mean, the isolation is, you know, you think about when we leave, it's our wives and the kids, and that's really it. They might have some friends around, but there's no people in the vicinity. There's And I just think that's hard. That, and we don't think about that. That those societies, especially like women, it's like when we come home, we're not women. We don't talk like women. We don't think like women, but we have to play that role because a lot of times our wives don't have that outlet.
No.
But no. They think about it. If you're living with your aunts and the wife is with her sisters and her mother's all around all day and they're doing their thing,
yeah.
How, you know, taking care of things around.
Yeah.
They're getting that out. They're emoting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, the guys are coming home from a hunt.
Right, exactly.
Where they
yeah.
like, sit down. I want to tell you about the blueberries we found today. It's like they've already talked about that. I just don't. It's, yeah. It interests me to know if that was... that dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now
it's so different now. It's a wildly isolated thing. I think about too, like the mom and the dad that both work full-time jobs, where they go out and they live these completely separate different lives for, you know, 40, 50 hours, 60 hours a week, and then they come home like together at the same time, and then they just have this kid that they're supposed to, you know, these kids or whatever they're supposed to raise. And that's challenging in its own right too, because it's like, well, what happened? The majority of your day was spent as an independent being away from your spouse or your kid. Does that make sense? Oh, yeah. That's the majority of what you do is that job. And then you come home with this other person who does that same thing and go, okay, I guess we just raise this kid together. But that kid was with somebody else the majority of the day too. So it's like, you're right. It is this very, and I'm not saying those are bad things. It's just very different like compartments that people, we all kind of like, slip into.
Yeah, well, you can't have it all. And
no.
The older I get, I realize, I see, you know, you make fun of people who are minimalists and people who you know, get lean and mean, you know, and they just have the bare essentials of life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm starting to come around to that.
Yeah.
And that realize that so much of our effort is just paying the bills.
Mm.
And is there a is there a way to just trim the fat in your life, you know? Mm. I mean, I'm getting to a point right now, I'm 51. It's like, I want to do more things that bring joy to my life.
Mm.
That really, what do I really want to do?
Yeah.
Last couple years ago, I was like, I don't want to mow my lawn anymore.
Yeah.
I used to love it. And I got to the point of, I don't want to mow it anymore. So I started paying some guy to do it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do. I don't want to do that.
Do you get popcorn and watch him mow it?
No. I'll just drive home. Oh, it's done.
Yes, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, I. But yeah, life is, you know, just finally like with golf and that. It's like, well, you know, I really think golf is fun. It's fun to hit a golf ball and watch it sail. And like, I just did that, and there's something magical about it.
Mm-hmm.
And fun.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy,
yeah,
the science of figuring out how to swing golf, swing, you know, in and out swing or whatever we're figuring out, and it's like, oh, I connected with it, and you're made to do it. The pros do that.
Yeah.
And how do I do that again and again and again?
Yeah.
When you realize, well, hit 1,000 balls a day. What's that going to take?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I'll just play disc golf. It takes an hour. It's free. You know, you can drink a beer while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And
we're just going to be a cruise ship comic.
Oh.
Just go live it up out there.
Have you done the cruise ships?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Is there a reason?
Mine is I get so motion sick that I've been terrified to ever do one. Yeah.
You think you would, though, if you...
I don't know. I wouldn't need to now, like, but I would, I'm sure I would have, absolutely. You know, like I had a couple on the books and like some other thing, they got canceled, like a couple, I've mentioned before, right? Like it's a comic, like you have to have one of the other C's beyond clubs to make money, right? Corporates, churches, college, cruises. Mm-hmm. Like you have to have one of those to pay your rent. And especially if you're not headlining or selling tickets. So cruises are, you know, because I can work clean and, you know, I know a lot of guys who do it. But it looks, you know, if like I also know some cruise guys who love it out there. They're having the time of their lives. They're anonymous for the couple of days. They're on a free cruise. Then they're the star of the ship, you know, for a couple of days. Have you done them?
I think one time, but it was more like a convention we were having.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Christian comedy convention thing,
whatever
it was. We had some friends went out and people just bought. We had about 300 people.
Okay.
And we did that and... Yeah, I don't know, man. The thing about when I do comedy, I want to get away. I don't want to mingle with everybody.
Same.
And even if you're the funny guy, I mean, that was fun maybe for a year or two, maybe.
Yeah.
You're getting attention, but I just don't.
Same.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when people come to me in airports or whatever once in a while, hey, dude, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's really great. I do not want any part of fame. I really don't. Can you imagine being somebody who's just hyper famous?
Yeah.
People come to you all the time. They're not necessarily a fan. They just, hey, you're the guy. You're the dude.
Yeah.
And dealing with that, that's not a life. And then I just see cruises as that. Mm-hmm. You're too captive. You can't go, you can't leave.
Yeah. John Mulaney, who is my favorite comic, said this, like, it was like a joking thing that he was doing about Rudolph the other day, where like he was on Fallon and they were like making it. And he said something very like insightful in the middle of this joke, where he was like, you know, go on a rant about Rudolph, and he was saying some things, you know, about how, you know, they just, oh, he fixes it, and like that doesn't forgive the past of how rude they were to him for all these years, and acting like it went away. And he goes, and he says, you'll go down in history. And he goes, Rudolph, is something I'm paraphrasing. He goes, just remember, fame is not love. Those are different things. And it's taken me years to realize this. And Rudolph, I recommend you go to therapy. But even just that idea of what you're talking about, like that, fame is not love. Like,
no.
And fame, and you know, we've witnessed this, and like the people's relationship with fame is like, it's not what you think it is. You think it will make that those people love you, that they don't. They like you, they celebrate you, they're a fan of yours. Mm-hmm. But there's no...
Well, think about a guy who, okay, you really like popsicles, and you see some guy who invented popsicles in the airport. I mean, are you going to go, hey, dude, I love your popsicles? I mean, you probably won't. You're like, you just continue liking popsicles. That's just the guy who made them. I don't understand that. Now, musicians, that's another thing. if I see Tommy Shaw from Styx on the airport, I'm going to go, dude, I'm sorry, but...
Yeah.
I love you, and I want to be your best friend.
Yeah.
Fame is not it. It's too, people are, it's not about people. I don't want to blame people. It's just, they like what you do. It's like you made a product that they enjoy, and that's great.
And they'll kick you to the curb so fast, too. They're not committed to you.
They consume your videos on YouTube, and they like it, and it gives them some joy.
Yeah.
They consume it.
Yes.
And it's just, and that's a huge theme in my life is creation and consumption. You're either creating or consuming. And I realize that, you know, if you don't get a handle on your career, your schedule, you know, your idea of fame, it's going to start consuming you.
Mm.
And, you know, it will turn on you. Those you can build a beast that will turn on you really, really quick. And before you know it, you know, and then, you know, with me, I was at a point where I didn't, you know, I said, I can't complain about this, or I shouldn't, you know, I didn't have clinical depression, but I was on the cusp. I was on, there was some physical stuff that was going on that something was draining from me. There was some emotional things that this life has taken from me, and I need to figure out what it is. So yeah, that makes you want to just step back and, you know, reevaluate things. And that's okay. I think things run their course. You get to a point where, okay, I've been doing this long, now I'm just ready for a change. And that's all right. It's like with relationships with people, it's not always going to be the same. The same. Like when we were a kid, you have a childhood friend. Well, you got different people come into your lives. You grow, you change, you have different interests. You go this and that. Some people you stay in touch with, and some people you just don't. It's not that you don't. You wish him the best.
And it doesn't mean you weren't friends with him. Those were good years as friends together.
Yeah.
But they change.
Yeah. And the same thing with your relationship with your job, with your career. It's like things, that's okay.
Yeah.
If you step away for a while and change. So
University of Washington's football coach just stepped down, and they asked him about it. And he said he knew it was time to change last year because he took a team to the Rose Bowl, you know, which is a prestigious thing. And he goes, like, I just didn't enjoy it. Like, I found myself, and I was like, I know this is a big deal. This is Rose Bowl. This is a huge deal. And I couldn't really enjoy it. For whatever reason,
isn't that crazy?
And And I think that is...
It's one of the biggest games in the world.
It's so depressing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he stepped away. The next season, he's like, it meant I had to... Something's off here. Yeah. I mean, he didn't go into great detail, but it's kind of like what you're doing. If you're like, something's off, I'm going to figure out what it is, or reevaluate, readjust.
Well, and it's you really, you're living in a situation where you really are on a constant way of people liking you and liking your stuff, and your identity comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
The you get to a point where I want to stop saying get to a point where, but it's true. There's a time comes when you start to judge.
Mm-hmm.
You're judging, like, they're not laughing as hard as they should at this joke.
Mm.
And you're like, are you kidding me? What are we doing here? What are we doing? There's like 1,000, there's guys not laughing, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, what, you know, what? No. something needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
It happened the other night. There was a guy in the front row, and the whole show, I let it get to me. And he was just, he's doing the whole crossed arm.
Yeah.
Front row guy. He was one of the VIPs.
Was this the guy dressed as Waldo?
No.
You know who I'm talking about.
That's what I do. If I was a pastor of a mega church, I would have somebody dressed as Waldo and just for fun, just to make it fun. You got a 3,000 member church and you're just doing your thing. Okay,
whoa!
Finding him.
That guy wasn't hard to find.
But you're gonna have to put people with, like, you know, maybe with a blanket with red stripes, but something to make it challenging.
Oh, the wizard too. They put the wizard in. Oh man, they don't always have the wizard. That's a nice touch.
But yeah, this guy, you know, after the show, he was just loved the show, just complimentary, and I was like, ah. But I think that's natural. But what I'm saying is that I want to get away from that. My identity doesn't come from my set list,
and my
joy doesn't come from all that. That's not why I started doing this in the first place. Mm-hmm.
Well, man, I'm really excited for you. And
really,
I am.
Really?
The start of this week, I am, because you're excited.
Why are you excited for me?
Because you're excited. Because you seem, like you said, it felt like the last week of school.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to put another word to it.
Other than what, excited?
Let's see, because I'm just so tired. It's like grandpa now, and, you know, just, it's like the table is cleared off.
Mm-hmm.
You're at that point. People ask me what my plan is, you know?
Yeah.
And to be honest, my plan is to, my number one plan is to continue learning to communicate with my wife in a compassionate way.
Hmm.
And that's everything. And protect her.
Yeah, but what about touring, Tim?
Touring? That's right.
What about stand-up, Tim? I don't think you what about Dave?
Yeah.
What about merch? Was that?
Yeah, right. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, when the checks aren't coming, I don't know.
That's what I mean, in that I'm eager. Like, I'm but I'm excited on your behalf, of just like you want to. It's a decision that you're making for the good of your health and your family's health, and you seem at peace about it, and that makes me happy.
Well, thank you. And most of the people I know that are close to me and that are, you know, that do what we do, and they're just like, oh, when, finally. You know, you got these guys. This one guy I was reading about, he did a record and he toured for 2 years. One record. And he took like 3 years off.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing? Somebody.
You're looking around. Why didn't anybody tell me to do this?
What? You can do that?
Yeah.
But I kind of had the itch to do clubs.
Mm.
Like to do open mics and things like
that. Yeah.
But that's just the creation part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's always going to be there, and I'll continue writing and just in my little music studio and that's just what I like to do.
Yeah, yeah. All of my sadness attached to this is all very selfish, in that I'll miss not touring with you.
It's fun, isn't it?
It's so fun, and you've always been so kind and supportive to me, both on and off stage, and I'll miss that. And so that's why. But it's not like a mourning, or like you're like throwing it away or anything dumb like that. It's like, you know, it's these are fun. And this is one of the great perks of comedy is these relationships, and you get to tour. And, you know, when someone like you takes someone like me out, it's well, a great learning opportunity.
I just enjoy that when you were coming off John's tour and there's like 13 people on the bus, and we had, I just bought my own bus.
Yeah.
So it was me and you. I just saw your shoulders just kind of relax. Yeah. It's almost like you had bad posture. You're so relaxed and you're just looking around.
Is this all mine?
Hello?
So I could just put my stuff anywhere?
Yeah. So bless your heart. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
But we'll cross paths again.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, if maybe not, but but you know what?
Film would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Are you you want to act?
I'm so bad at it, but I want to get better
at lessons. I
will.
Take acting lessons.
Yeah. Yeah. I will.
You know what's funny? That acting is just about doing what we're doing now.
Yeah.
It's just you learn how, film acting especially, is where you learn how to be yourself talking.
I don't think, with the little bit that I've done of it, I don't love it, though, admittedly. Right. I think it, but I want to like lean into things that I feel like I love.
Why not?
And that I'm good at.
Why don't you?
It's just kind of an uncomfortable.
You don't feel good at it?
I don't feel good at it, and I don't enjoy it a lot. Like I don't, I love this podcast. I love stand up. You know, there's a lot of like little, I like writing a lot. There's a couple little endeavors that I'm working on, writing projects. I like that a lot. And I'm trying to lean into things that I like and be strengths-based, not feeling like I have to do everything, you know? Cause that is a thing that like, you're like, oh, I should be, you know, we saw my buddy's old hand on a commercial. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I should be in commercials. I should be doing that. Maybe. Maybe not. Right. Maybe just don't do everything. You know.
Are you book writer? You see yourself doing that?
I think that's something. I'm trying to spend a lot of 2020 trying to figure out how to make money, not on the road.
Man, let me know. And all that goes. When you find that. Gosh. I just think about how long it takes to really build, you know, the act and start selling tickets and really start generating, you know, income.
Yeah.
But will it take as long if you started something else, you know? Because you kind of already have the chops. You're taking what you do know and what you don't know.
Right.
Like how long it would take to...
I don't know, man.
To cross over in that way. I think that the podcast, things like this are really great that you're doing because you're building the fan base and you're learning to interview skills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just making you more valuable.
That's what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping to put out things that, like when you say with acting, like it's not fun for me or and I don't feel like it's revealing something that's authentically me. And so it's not an artistic expression that I'm super passionate about. Mm. I like this a lot, though.
Yeah.
So, and I like that you're doing this. We're over time. You got stuff to do.
Are we?
You got a shower.
Oh, my gosh.
You smell so bad.
Oh, do I?
No.
Yeah. Well, I started taking testosterone about 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it almost like puts you back to 16 years old where your armpits start to smell again. I haven't used deodorant in 15 years.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't need it.
And now you just Axe body spray all the time.
Yeah. So we had to tone that down a little bit.
Thanks for doing this, Tim.
Sure.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.